heard you missed us. We're back. It's live from the Five Hole. Faxes from UncleDale.com's and the Sam Fells, but who's buying newsletters? Official semi-weekly podcast. We are back after a brief hiatus due to scheduling conflicts and our general ennui. I am Sam Fells, your host of said newsletter. You can find me on Blue Sky at Fellsgate. We are, of course, in fatal four-way formation as we come down the final turn and the stretch of the NHL and Hawks season. So, leading off with the usual crew, he is Dr. Viral. He is the biggest jackass, no talent in the business, and he's the CEO of WBCW and Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9 Central. You can find him on Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin. It's Andrew Cieslak.
Welcome to Chode season.
It's different than cuffing season, I take it.
That's right.
He is working the ones and twos for us tonight. He's our supervising technician and our technical supervisor, and he's Hollywood's go-to grizzled crank. You can find him on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. It is Matt McClure.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan. And last but not least, he is the true Chicago sports archivist. He is the goal line assassin. He is the oracle of Humboldt Park. You cannot find him on Blue Sky at Fifth Feather, but he might find you. He's lurking in the night. It's Fifth Feather John.
Sam, I have a thought exercise for you.
We're going right into it. Okay.
No, I do, but we don't have to get right into it.
No, let's get right into it.
I want to tell you that I have a thought exercise because you're always the one with the thought exercises.
Let's do the thought exercise. You will switch roles. I will be Terry Bores.
But my thought exercises are terrible.
Okay. Is this one terrible?
Yes, I think this one's terrible.
Okay. That makes me more excited.
Yes. We'll see what you think.
Okay.
Because you always love to look ahead, right?
I have nothing in the present, so why not look in the future?
I have nothing. Come on.
Okay. So we have 1 week left to go in the NHL season?
According to the Bare Naked Ladies, yes, we have 1 week.
You did the thought exercise. By the way, that song only makes me think of Nandor at the wellness center.
that's the idea. Yeah.
By the way, do you know that the one guy from the Bare Naked Ladies, of all the bands to get kicked out of, got thrown out for being total cokehead?
Yes.
Like a total psycho.
The drummer, I think.
No, the bespectacled lead vocalist.
Right. That's right.
The only thing I remember about Bare Naked Ladies is they had a great sense of humor. If you don't believe it, just ask them.
Yeah, they suck. John,
anyway,
continue.
John's thought exercise.
Well, Canadian. A few weeks ago, I think, maybe a couple episodes, who knows anymore.
They all blend together.
When the Hawks surpassed their point total from the previous year, we were forced to reconcile with some of the thoughts or reconsider some of our preseason thoughts or whether this was a successful season. So, Sam, as we sit with four games left, the Hawks are currently only 9 points better than where they finished last year.
Yeah.
They have the potential to go up to 78 points, which would be almost a 20-point swing.
I don't think they will, but they could.
They could. It's within the realm of possibility still. So, where would you say that they're going to end up? And if so, is that a big enough improvement in points in your eyes?
Well, I have something of a related thought experiment to this, so we'll connect them. Well, John, let me ask you, can I ask you a question first?
Oh, of course.
Should I look at their point total or should I look at their regulation win total?
Oh, well, I was going to get there. So let's do both.
I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah, let's do both.
This is called synthesis.
Mm-hmm.
The and regulation also an air production meeting.
They have one more regulation win than they did last season, correct?
Correct. Last year they had 20 regulation wins. This year they're at 21 still. Yeah. So with four games to go, the most they could finish.
Could get to 25.
Yeah. 25 won't. Is the highest. Yeah.
Won't, but could. Mm-hmm. And so you're asking me what I feel about that.
And will that change your thoughts from our thought experiment from a couple weeks ago where we said that the season would have to be considered a success because they've improved on their point total?
Is that what we said?
Begrudgingly, I believe we came to that conclusion that there's not any other way that anyone on the team would certainly spin it.
Mm-hmm. And I think
we would certainly have to say, even with one more regulation win, you cannot call it an abject failure. Let me rephrase. Matt can call it an abject failure, but no one else is going to call it an abject failure.
You got one more regulation win by playing a bunch of 30-year-olds no one gives a shit about, and you didn't trade all of them that you could.
But they played a bunch of 30-year-olds that no one wanted last year.
But so it's an improvement, but who gives a shit?
Well, if you watch... you always have it on the mute lounge, so you don't hear all this. They can't wait to tell you that the Hawks lead the NHL in goals and games played by rookies, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So, it's not quite as old. John, if I were to think about it, I would have to say I feel... I can't say I feel nothing. That's a cop-out, but I don't feel one way or the other, but I don't feel like it's progress, and I can't say it's a failure because it's pending, but it's also like just barely enough ahead of last year's curve that, you know, it's not an absolute disaster. Plus, if we dig into the nuance here, some of the things we wanted to see out of this season, we did. Bedard is better this year than he was last year. Does that mean he's good enough? I don't know. Probably not. But he is better. He took a step forward. That was like the main thing, right? That was the only thing we actually asked out of this season.
Right.
Spencer Knight proved to be a top 10 goalie. That's a big deal.
And a reliable one, too. This is his first year with a true starter's workload, whatever that might be in the modern NHL. But
my thought experiment, John,
mm-hmm.
is that we have spent, we've spent basically 3 years belittling anyone who claims that the process or the program is working because of how much hope there is and how much youth there is, but we don't know. There's no track record of development. It's just all open-ended. It's all potential. It could be anything. But at the same time, if we say, well, you can't say this is a success or going anywhere because you don't know, because there's just nothing to evaluate right now, we equally cannot say it's a failure or it's on the wrong path because we don't know either. It's all just open-ended. And I think what we get angry at is that it's still open-ended, that there are just no answers here.
Well, and I think the other thing too that I get angry about, at least, is from and Andrew and probably Matt as well, is on America's Favorite Segment, which we'll get to, is the just blind confidence that it's that this is going to turn around.
Right. But you flip that coin, right? Like, we get angry that people say, especially on the broadcast, like, look at how much better this will get because it will get better.
Yeah.
Right? That's all it is. We got all these kids all over the nation. Some are in the organization, some are not. And it will obviously get better because we have all these kids and they could be anything. But someone could say, well, you don't know that they're not going to be anything. And we don't.
No.
And I think what we are trying to tell people is, well, you can't get excited because there is just nothing tangible here. And you're getting excited about hope and potential and, you know, nothing you can...
People shouldn't be excited. I'm not really excited, but...
Right, and I'm not either.
Yeah, I guess people can be excited. I just don't know what to get excited about.
Well, I think everyone should just be firmly in the middle in purgatory.
Yes.
Just, well, you know, like, it just be like, well, it could be, could not, I don't know.
The way people keep comparing it to the dynasty teams, or whatever you want to call them, each player like sort of fits into one of those guys. Like, oh, we need that Hossa guy or whatever. Like, you're just going to find one.
Right.
But it doesn't make sense to me because it feels like the people who are wish casting every prospect to be the very special boy that they're determined to be on a
slumber parties.
Yeah. It's going to be amazing. Just watch. They couldn't have watched all the cup teams because they wouldn't be accepting this if they had.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. Like, either you are satiated by the cup run and you feel like, okay, you know, everything's good. I don't really care what happens. I'm just watching the games and it's fine. Or you're like, I know what good looks like and this is not it.
I know what growth looks like and this isn't it.
I know what good coaching looks like. Not sure I'm seeing that. No. Like, it's like, how can you just be so sure things are just going to work out because I don't understand. It's not the same thing as hoping they become good, but being so confident that they're going to be good is the thing I don't understand.
Right. And I think before I get to what's pissing me off tonight, specifically, I think when we do this podcast a year from now, assuming we're all alive, which come on, we won't be.
We might not be alive tomorrow.
We might not be. Or if we do it, let's see, April. So we do it 8 months from now, 10 months from now, in the middle of next year. Chances are the Hawks will probably be at least slightly better than they are now. You know, the kids who are on the team now will take something of a step forward, if only through experience. That doesn't mean they'll be good. But what I am preparing for already is for everyone to take that incremental step as a sign that it's a leap and that they're on the verge, which it might not be. So I'm just preparing the ground for that. John, would you like to know what's angering me tonight?
Absolutely.
And I quickly shared this on the Real Show. I quickly shared it on Blue Sky. I'd like to go back to the 23 draft, the top 10 picks, if I might.
You may.
Second overall, Leo Carlson, John. Is he playing games that matter?
Looks that way.
Number 3 overall, Adam Fantilli of the Columbus Blue Jackets scored a tying goal in the last minute against Detroit tonight. Is he playing games that matter?
Efforting on the standings? Yes, he is.
4th overall, Will Smith, the San Jose Sharks, saw him last night. Is he playing games that matter?
Looks that way. For at least a couple more.
Beating their rivals last night.
Yeah, beating their quote-unquote
new rivals.
Yeah. Do the Sharks know that the Hawks are a rival? Unclear.
Unclear on that. We don't know, but the Hawks are going to claim the Sharks
are rival. But the Hawks
are convinced
the Sharks are their rival. It's like when the Minnesota Wild broadcast would call the Hawks their rival.
Yes.
And everyone would be like, who?
Why? Yeah.
Here we get. This gets a little more money. Number 5 pick of the 23 draft, the Montreal Canadiens take something named David Reinbacher. Has anyone heard of this guy?
Montreal hasn't heard of this guy.
Yeah, Montreal hasn't heard of this guy. Arizona/Utah took Dmitry Simashev. Has only played 1 NHL game, so we can, or 25 NHL games. I'm sorry. So we can move him. Philadelphia
Cross
Flyers, number 7, Matvei Michkov, 106 career points in 156 games. Is he playing games that matter?
Looks that way, yes.
Number 8, Washington Capitals, Ryan Leonard. Was he playing games that mattered last year?
I think every year that he's been in the league. Yes, he has.
And number 9, Detroit. We know they don't know what they're doing. Nate Danielson, pretty sure he's dead. Doesn't matter. Number 10, St. Louis Blues, Dalibor Dvorsky. Is he playing games that matter?
Dalibor Bagaric.
Dalibor Bagaric.
He's
playing. Did
you say Dalibor Divorce Me?
Yes.
Dvorsky, like the old linesman and... Greg and Paul.
Didn't Paul Dvorsky have an E in his name, though?
Yes.
Is Dvorsky the donut eater, or is that a Koharski?
That was Koharski. That was Koharski. Have another donut.
Anyway,
pig.
He has played 65 games for the Blues, who I believe are right outside the playoff spots at the moment.
They are, and it's a good thought that I just had, looking at the standings here and looking at the Blues, where they've basically decided that this is the Blues rebuilding year, I don't know how you wouldn't be optimistic about their future.
Well, Craig Bennington.
Yeah.
Jordan.
Oh, yeah, Jordan him too. Craig Billington, Jordan Bennington.
Craig Billington. So anyway, 6 of the 9 picks behind one Connor Bedard have already played games that mattered, whereas Connor Bedard has not played one.
He played half of a game that mattered against Anaheim earlier in the year.
Right. What do I make of that?
Well, you can make two things out of it. You could say, like you've been saying, Connor Bedard might just be a loser. Or the other thing
might be
Connor Bedard's GM is a loser.
We know that Connor Bedard's GM is a loser.
We know that for a fact, and we thought Caleb might be a loser last year until Ben got here.
We did think Caleb might be a loser, so I do have to reserve judgment. Also, everyone who listens to this podcast knows I'm a moron.
Okay, wait.
And that's when I'm sober.
And yeah, Caleb's not a loser, and we're very happy. However,
we are.
They brought someone in to make sure that he didn't end up being a loser, didn't they?
They did.
Are the Hawks doing that next year?
No.
I doubt it.
No.
Loser you coach, loser not. Captain, loser free agents.
Mangia pane.
Again.
Right. He's on the team for next year.
Mm-hmm.
We just did Sam to go back to, again, fucking loser city here. I don't know where you found the David Carl, the hot Carl. Retrospective about him basically
on The Athletic today
telling Kyle to go suck a dick, but like, and then they ended up with a guy who like was basically asked them for the job and agreed to take the, you know, Durs the butt puppet on his staff.
For those who might not have seen it, a big piece on David Carl on The Athletic today on the eve of him taking Denver to yet another Frozen Four. And at the very end of the article, they asked him about interest where the Blues and Hawks and one other team, like Utah, I believe. I can't remember exactly.
Would it have been the Blues already? Did they just hire Montgomery this year, or was that last year?
No, they. I guess it was last year. But the Blues were specifically mentioned as far as reaching out to David Carl. The Hawks were certainly mentioned. And while they didn't ask him specifically about NHL jobs, his answer was, why the fuck would I have taken any of those jobs over this one? So that's where the Hawks stand. If now, I'm trying to think, what team in the NHL, if it were the Oilers, you know, someone like that, or, the Rangers might, and I don't know that anyone would take that job, but, you know, a glamour job, the Stars, something like that, maybe even Anaheim. And reached out to Carl and said, would you like our job? Would he have been so dismissive? I tend to doubt it.
Hard to know. And I'm trying to remember if Anaheim was even interested in Carl last year or if Verbeek was dead set on Quenneville.
I mean, he was pretty dead set on
Quenneville. That's what I thought, yeah. If memory serves.
I will effort while John pontificates.
Did Verbeek and Quenneville cross paths back in Hartford?
Absolutely.
Of course they did.
Yes.
Course. It all goes back to the mid-80s fucking Hartford Whalers, where every single fucking coach and executive comes from.
And even if they didn't, Matt, they probably crossed paths with enough mutuals that they've known each other for however many years now at this point.
Let me amend the article. Says Carl had conversations with NHL teams, including Anaheim and the Hawks, following last season. He also had a short conversation with the Blues a few years ago. So far, nothing has aligned with what Carl is looking for. You don't say.
That's a really polite way of saying.
Carl has made his feelings about the NHL pretty clear, saying last summer that his latest discussions with NHL teams left him feeling there's zero reason to leave Denver in the near term, if ever.
It sounds to me like he's got his eyes set on a particular job.
Right.
Whatever that would be.
Whatever it is. It's
Colorado?
Not the ones that have come calling.
I mean,
yeah.
I would think
the Avalanche, or something like that.
There was 1 year of overlap, 89-90, between Quenneville.
That's
and
enough
Verbeek.
To form a bond.
Indeed. It's hockey. They form bonds with at one training camp.
Yep.
They probably
true.
Committed a sexual assault together.
All right. Jeez, calm down.
Fucking A.
Parody not actionable.
Also, Quenneville only covers up sexual assaults.
Or he just doesn't want to know about them.
Right. Well,
don't show me that.
So anyway, I don't even know what point. Getting back to the original thing, I don't even know what point I'm making. I'm just saying that
this is good TV
for a draft 3 years ago. Of 3 years ago now, a majority of the top 10 picks are playing games that matter, are competing for playoffs.
You're just impatient.
That's great. You're never going to convince me that I really wish we would have had Adam Fantilli.
I don't think that's Sam's point.
It's an organizational failure so far.
I'm also saying, if they had wanted to even accelerate this a little bit, say, hey, we got Connor Bedard, we should at least step on the gas a bit. It could not have been that hard.
That's what they tell me. You can't. There's no one to acquire.
Salary cap's too high.
And there's no way to acquire them. Sorry. It's anyway. Like, that's okay. Well, I want to have a job where I literally can't do anything. And then my boss will say, that's fine.
That's fine. Good for you.
Sign me up. That's the best job I've ever heard of.
And just have page after page after page of your fans telling you how great a job you are and wishing that they were your friends.
Maybe well, he prints them out and shows them to Danny.
I mean, we know where this goes, though. Remember, in early December, there was a long piece of, is Kyle ready to tell us he told us so?
And now they are locked into the second worst record again.
There's no way they made it to December with that.
I believe that article appeared like the first week of December.
And then they probably got their...
Right before Bedard got hurt.
It was after that article they lost like all the games.
Yeah, they probably got pecker slapped like 9-0. Whatever that was. Let's go back and find out.
They got crushed. I know what you're talking about.
Anyway. According to John and Slack, we have an extra big AFS tonight.
Meaty.
We should just get right to it.
Sure. I can go first.
Oh, I'm following your lead here, Andrew.
All right. There was a...
It was early December where they promptly lost a combined 13-1 to LA and the Ducks.
Oh, and back-to-back nights, wasn't it?
They just did that again to the Rangers and Devils, if I'm not mistaken.
They did.
This article came into the Sun-Times. It's from 2 days ago. Ben Pope, analyzing where Artem Levchinov stands after chaotic Blackhawks rookie season. So I'm sure we all read the article. It was in the Sun-Times.
Did we, though?
I didn't. But I did. I've seen enough analysis on our friend Finn Dick Artie. You know? It's just... Yep. Some good, a lot bad. We'll see.
More so, like a rockhead, Artie.
So this first comment here, this is the top comment. The replies is where we get nuts. So bear with me. 92 roll 13 guy, and keep in mind this name's important, who will return. Lev is freaking 20 years old. Schaefer being a star has drastically warped how people view young defensemen. You'll be pretty hard-pressed to find many at all who are instantly great. Dude is an athletic freak who has the potential to be a beast. It's going to take some time, but that's okay. People need to chill.
Okay.
Which, what are you offering with this comment?
70 upvotes.
Okay, 70. Great.
What are you offering? If a player gets taken in a draft and he's really good, that means other players can't be good or...
It's a zero-sum game. There's only so much amount of good that goes through the lottery, Andrew.
He only looks bad because Schaefer's been good. No, he looks bad because we watch the games and he stinks. Dumbass.
He has no direction. They're asking him to do everything and nothing.
So here's the reply from Long Definition, who I think we've seen before. He's getting heavily downvoted, so he...
He must be right.
Yes, he's making good points.
He seems like somebody I would want to talk about the Blackhawks with. He just replies... Quinn Hughes, Lane Hudson, Kale McCarr, Zach Werenski, Rasmus Dahlin, Matthew Schaefer, Eric Karlsson, Nicholas Lidstrom, Drew Doughty. This 92 roll guy replies. This is it's about to get spicy. So put on your
glass
of milk.
Let me buckle up here.
He replies, and this one gets upvoted like crazy. 21. I'm blown away. Hughes was a minus 25, Karlsson minus 30. Doughty was a minus 17 and only had 3 more points. Duncan Keith played 81 games and had 21 points. Brent Burns had 17 points his first full season. None of the above means jack shit. Development's not linear. If Lev has made zero progress by the end of next season, then I will start worrying. Obviously, we wanted Lev to get off to a fast start out of the gate, but to imply he's doomed because of a poor rookie... age 20 season is dumb and not fair to the kid.
Matt, remind me how old Drew Doughty was when he made Team Canada.
I believe 20 or 21.
Okay.
Interesting.
Long
Definition, who had the earlier comment downvoted even more this time, replies, I didn't name Duncan Keith or Brent Burns. You did. And using plus minus as an indicator for a rookie defenseman that got drafted as a lottery pick for poverty franchises is insane.
This guy's my hero.
So this guy, Swole Chinchilla.
He's definitely a listener, right?
maybe. Swole Chinchilla replies, so what metrics are you using? Because Dolan spent his first four seasons having the ice tilted against him when he was on the ice. Werenski was up and down his first 8 years and played to a 47% XGF as recently as 2 years ago. Eric Carlson, LOL. What?
Eric Carlson's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
he's already there.
Werenski was up and down his first 8 years. Go look at his numbers. You were an absolute moron.
And go watch. He was playing in games that mattered in year one.
All right, I'm gonna do. I'm for some reason I'm going to do the math on this guy. Anyway, keep going, Slack. What's, by the way, our listener who's fighting the good fight here, what's his name again?
This would be long definition 8152.
Okay. Well, that's not a reference Zach to anything.
In the playoffs, his first 1, 2, 3, 4 seasons.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Bum.
Wow. Yeah.
You know why he's a bum? Because he played with Seth Jones. He doesn't want it bad enough.
Mm-hmm.
Malcontent
with his ring. Just so we're clear, Zach, if he wants to go by metrics, and I'm sure that he does, Zach Werenski was plus five against his team in Corsi and expected goals in his rookie season.
Interesting.
Interesting that.
But do you know he was up and down?
He was up and down, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Down as in he missed some seasons with injuries, but he wasn't down as in playing badly.
Yes. No. You didn't watch him and think, has this man ever stepped on an ice surface before? Has he ever played the sport that he's playing?
Is that what you think when you watch Lipschitz?
Yes, there are certain nights that you have that thought. Or this is the dumbest person I've ever seen try to play.
See, I'm with you. I think that I'm like, this guy might be the dumbest hockey player in the league.
Yes. That's a problem. And that's what these freaks don't seem to understand. It doesn't matter how old he is. You know, right away, all of these guys.
All right. I got one more quick thing here. This is funny. Notorious Binna replies for a new comment. Not too encouraged after reading that with how much Lev has to work on not to be one of the worst D-men in the league. He's a very raw player with impressive tools, but has one glaring weakness with his abysmal hockey IQ that might hold him back from reaching his potential.
Is that all?
Which, you know, this is getting upvoted for some reason, even though there's nothing really wrong.
I don't think they know what it means.
So
by the way, Werenski did this all under the tutelage of a noted genius and developer of rookie talent, John Tortorella.
So Gold Whale replies, Levchinov is currently the worst D-man and arguably player in the NHL by analytics, but Pope and Blashill are making the case that development isn't linear and Levchinov is still making small but significant improvements. This summer and next year will be critical. He's
small
going to be gifted.
Small but significant.
This next summer, this summer and next year will be critical. He's going to be gifted that top spot, but the responsibilities that come with it too, both at 5v5 and the power play. The hope is that his tools are there and that he can develop the IQ to become a good player. It's a lot to ask, but the org isn't going to bash him publicly. This guy replies, by which analytics? Referring to him being the worst D-man in the league by analytics. And Gold Whale says, natural stat trick is the easiest place to look for numbers. You can see those numbers echoed by JFresh, Money Puck, Game Score Cards, etc.
It's across the board.
He's got the receipts, that's for sure.
It's across the board for most categories. He's at the bottom, if not the bottom. And then
downvoted to Bolivia for that comment, by the way.
I just think I got to go back. Which analytics? And then he replies which analytics he's using. And then the guys downvote him. He didn't make the analytics.
Right.
This guy
small but significant.
You just make up the analytics. They're out there.
Let's look at my favorite Stan Bowman quote. There is no timetable, but he's on schedule.
There's not a plan, but there's a process.
Andrew, the guy's reply to that about the place to look for the numbers is even better.
Yeah.
Because he says, I'm looking at Money Puck right now with a 300 minute Levshinov is 72nd from the bottom in expected high danger chances per 60. He's 85th from the bottom in relative expected goals. He's 10th from the bottom in on-ice Fenwick, 29th from the bottom in on-ice Corsi, 44th from the bottom in defensive zone giveaways. He hasn't been good, but I think you're being a little dramatic. This is where Andrew should pipe in with one of his all-time comments, which is, oh, I thought he was – you said he was bad. And he's quoting it. 72nd from the bottom. Oh, okay. Then that's fine. He's only 10th from the bottom.
He talks like that.
Yeah. He's not the worst. There's guys that are worse than him. There's like 9 other guys that are worse than him.
Right. This guy's dead.
He was a second overall pick, for God's sakes. He should never be at the bottom of any list.
He's a second overall pick.
I can't believe he used a 300-minute minimum. That's like 10 games.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's 20.
You're including like almost any. That's stupid. This guy's an idiot.
You know,
saying the league leader for batting average qualifies with 30 at-bats.
Cool. I can't remember exactly. If Kyle had come out, right, they take Levshinov, and Kyle had just come out and said, this guy is a project, and we're going to treat him as such.
Oh, it'd be so embarrassing.
What would our reaction, would everyone else's reaction be different?
My reaction would be extremely negative to them saying that, I think.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, it would be humiliating. I would have been negative about it.
And upsetting.
You don't have to take a project at number 2. But yeah, they didn't.
Know what you were getting.
I don't remember them making it sound like that, because as soon as they took him, they were kind of making noise like, we might just bring him to Rockford, without mentioning the part that he was too stupid to stay at Michigan State.
I loved the pick at the time, and I still don't think he's a lost cause. But he's there's some work to be done here, and I don't trust anyone in this organization to do it.
See, this is the rare occasion where Matt has the absolute most clear-eyed opinion of all of us. Like, hasn't given up, sees what they see, but is absolutely correct in saying there's no reason to trust the people in charge of bringing that out to do so.
There is absolutely no track record of them being able to do this, especially with this type of player.
Yeah,
all they can do is coach any of this out of him. And turn him into fucking Robin Regier.
And you can always find a Robin Regier. You don't need to make one.
Thought we had one in Dylan Olsen, goddammit.
He's offering bongos on a bicycle somewhere.
Also too stupid for a Big Ten hockey program.
Dylan Olsen was the one when we had a friend literally inside the organization who shall remain nameless. And I saw them at a prospect camp, and they described Dylan Olsen as the perfect Dale Talon pick, big, dumb, and stupid.
Dumb and stupid.
Dumb and stupid. Well, it's like that was enjoyable. Thank you. John, did you have more to add to it? Is there an addendum to AFS?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Sorry, I stole your thunder.
No, not at
no,
all.
No, he was riding right along with you.
That's right.
Yeah, I do appreciate the shotgun.
In my mouth.
I will say that I'm just scrolling through the feed right now, and the freaks are starting to pour cold water on themselves because apparently Jack
Pridham. There's an image. Yeah.
It's Jack Pridham. Who was a pick of the Hawks,
yes.
Currently playing for the Kitchener Rangers in the OHL.
Not John Mustard.
He was named the Matt McClure Overage Player of the Year, which apparently is a real award that they give in the OHL. Then obviously I added the Matt McClure part to it. But
oh,
they
do I thought have, that was going to be the part of it.
Wow. No, it's the Overage Player of the Year. And then somebody put a list of all the past recipients. Do you want to hear who's won the overage player?
Oh, God, do I.
What's this guy's name again? I don't even.
Jack Pridham.
Jack Pridham. Is he Providence?
No, he's
a Kitchener. He's in the OHL.
Oh, he's in the OHL. Right.
And he's an overager.
An overager.
Old man.
Okay, so Jack Pridham was this year's overager. Last year's, also from Kitchener, Jackson Parsons.
Who the hell is he?
I'm just getting started. 23-24, also from Kitchener. I'm detecting a theme here.
I think I see Kitchener's battle plan here.
The region. This is the market inefficiency.
Matthew Sopp.
Is that Billy Gunn's brother?
Yes.
The year before that, from Windsor now, Matthew Maggio. Brandon
Mike's
Coe.
Brother.
Yeah, that's
Brandon
right.
Coe in 21-22.
Okay.
Coe? 2019-2020, Austin Keating. Mm. Mm. 2018-2019, Justin Rizzo.
Boy, I tell you, Stone Pony, this Justin Rizzo. He got the best first step in the zone in the OHL since.
He's in the league though. He's somewhere.
Is he?
I think so. Yeah. Okay. I think he's actually cashing an NHL check here.
I got a couple more names before we get to a name that I definitely recognize.
Okay.
So then 2017-2018, Aaron Luchuk from Barry.
Yeah, he's with the Pengs, and he's played 60 games this year and 17 goals, even in spite of himself.
All right. Well,
okay. That's good.
That's solid.
And then 16-17 was Darren Radish.
Oh, God.
Who's now?
Wait, he's actually good now. He's good now.
Yeah, and he's good on
and
Tampa.
He's 31, and right, he's going to finally and he's going to cash in on his.
The next Darren Radish is Artem Leshinov.
On his third team.
He's 31 and he's finding himself.
And then 15-16. Is this our LeBlanc?
Yes.
Yes.
Kevin LeBlanc.
No, that was Drew.
That was Drew.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Drew went to college. Drew was a Hobie Baker.
Okay.
His mom goes to college.
Your mother's an astronaut.
My mother was too drunk to be an
astronaut.
That's
pretty much it. Ryan Callahan, if you go back to 2005-06.
All right. There we go.
Okay. So 20 years.
We're back.
And then 2 years before that, Marty St. Pierre.
Of course.
No.
Of course.
So wait, this Jack Pridham, who they bellow about on the broadcast. Like, wait till this guy's coming, wait till you see him. He's an overager. He has worse numbers in the OHL than Nick Lardis did. We're not even sure Nick Lardis is an NHL top
six. Yes, he is.
Sorry,
but Jack has got the projectable frame, as they say in the old country.
You know what I say about the Hawks? Country. As far as success goes, they're only one Jack off.
That's their new slogan.
Yeah. Replacing cold steel on
one
ice.
One Jack off. It's just
one Jack off.
Picture.
And
a Jack and mustard as well.
Damn it.
Is Jack Mustard his name?
No, it's John, isn't
it's John.
It?
Jack is a
Jack's
John
his dad.
Jack Mustard.
Oh, boy.
Muhammad Imar Bruce Lee.
Well, this has been a fun exercise.
Truly.
And you know what? They're going to add another top three pick to it this year, and everyone will be all excited, and we'll be wrong. We will
all
be
right,
wrong.
All right, well, to be – I hate saying this. I got to stop saying that phrase, but – I do like what I'm seeing from Antoine Frondell.
I think there's a lot there too.
Yeah,
to
he's
there's a lot of
he's
face
cool.
there too.
There's a lot big of face lot of there face. Too. He has Scandinavian moon face. That's for sure.
Big head.
He looks Finnish.
But the thing is, like,
he's gonna cry himself to sleep on
his huge pillow. Sending out four straight teams to finish at the bottom of the NHL and picking in the top three, that doesn't speak of genius to me.
Correct. That's my point.
And two of those they tried.
Yeah.
Two of those they thought they were trying.
They thought they were done finishing last, and they weren't.
They keep saying that shit, and then it keeps happening. And on
I don't
top
think
of
Kyle's
it too,
ever going to say that again. He's learned his
you'd
lesson.
You'd hope. I mean, look, if this all ends with them getting Ivar Stenberg, I'm going to be over the moon.
He's tiny.
He is tiny, but I think he's the real deal. And you can trade some of your other tiny wingers, too.
You're happy if the Hawks recreate a junior Swedish team line in the NHL? That's good for you?
That's good
like
for
that?
Me.
Okay.
Well, and on top of it all, we keep bringing this up again. You know, you could point to, like, the Sabres and the Sens now. Thank you, Iser Plan. They're on, like, their second and third. They fired their GMs.
I think they're on like the third GMs, aren't they? If
no,
you look at the full cycle of it.
Well, yeah, geez, they're on their fifth. It's the fucking Sabres. But like, no, they're at least on their, because what? Pierre Dorion was there for at least 5 or 6 years.
You've got a GM who doesn't do anything and an owner who doesn't want to do anything. It's perfect.
It's perfect.
He's too concerned about the diminishing returns on booze
I make
in this,
this
country.
I make this point about the Sabres and Senators all the time, and I maybe now this doesn't apply to the Sabres, although I'm fairly sure it does. You can point to them all you want as rebuilds that have quote-unquote come good because they're going to make the playoffs. Do you think the Sabres or Senators are future cup winners? Especially with Brady on his way out?
They traded their Bedard.
Yeah.
And you can't tell me that Jack Eichel wasn't as touted as Connor Bedard. He was, for sure.
Oh, for sure. I mean,
at the very least, going right to the fucking alma mater, they traded their Macklin Celebrini.
Right. I mean, I guess I could see a path
Celebrini?
For the Sabres, like make one or two moves.
Because I read it in the Sindarin tongue, Celeborn. Yes.
There it is.
That's his traditional name. Anyway, all right, I'm done. That's it.
Yeah, we got to move on.
We got a lot of corners.
Or was it Quetta? I forget whether it was the hard C with all those Elvish names.
I know that John and Slack will tell me to go fuck myself, but would you guys like to do a season-ending Illini corner? A disappointing and yet fun Illini season came to an end on Saturday.
Overall, I have no complaints.
Agreed. They were well overdue for this type of season. I feel like
every
basketball powerhouse has some Final Four appearance where didn't really do anything, but they made it.
Yeah,
that's never worked out for Illinois ever.
Right.
And now they finally got one. So hopefully now that means bigger and better things to come. Yep. Because it was the path was completely cleared for them. If they did not make it to the Final Four, I would have said this was the biggest disappointment ever.
Right.
But I mean, if you go back to past seasons when they've been good, whether it was Bill Self, Bruce Weber, previous Underwood
Lon Kruger
teams, Lon Kruger.
Even
Lon Kruger.
Good coach.
When they would get into the tournament, there was never any bracket busters that they were the recipient of. They would always have to face the 2 seed. And then if they won, they would have to play the 1 seed if they made it to the Sweet 16, right? They never had it where every upset kind of went their way in their bracket. And they only had to face, like even this year, having to face the 2 seed Houston, which was a tough team. But that was really all they had to face on their way to the Final Four.
Yeah, I thought they were out of Houston's league just based on what I've seen from Houston and my just belief that Illinois is ready to underperform on any notice. And I was wrong. That really was surprising in a good way. They beat Houston pretty badly.
In Houston?
Yeah, it was close for a bit, but I mean, they kicked their ass for the most part. It was satisfying. And then I think you couldn't really afford losing to Iowa, who I wouldn't consider a good basketball team, even if their weirdo coach is hot shit all of a sudden. Just, you know, you can't lose. If you're Illinois and you think you are what you think you are, and you can't lose a tournament elimination game to Iowa. You just can't. You could lose to a Wisconsin, a Michigan State, a Michigan. You can't lose to Iowa. It's just not acceptable.
And they didn't.
And so I'm very pleased with that.
Well, from this admitted outsider's perspective, who doesn't pay a lot of attention, but I talk to you guys, I read about Illinois. I thought it was at least encouraging that when it came, push came to shove, the coach didn't get in the way.
I think he's got a really good staff.
Previous really tournament exits, there have been a lot, I've read a lot of Illini fans going, what, you know, this guy
right
does not know what he's doing when games are close. And it wasn't like that this time. They came through in the close games they had to. And then they lost to a better team in the Final Four. Like, you can't.
Yeah, there's no, you don't look, I don't look at UConn and think, oh man, they should have had that or they got hosed. Like, I mean, UConn just, that's a pretty good team, even if their coach is a penis.
I mean, he's a total penis, but he also knows what he's doing.
He very much knows what he's doing. And I think the Kofi Io failure that you all saw for the Loyola thing was a lesson for him. And he kind of has built his team completely differently. And, you know, went shopping in Europe and brought in all the Serbians and the Montenegrins.
Take me to the Balkans, please.
Take me to the Balkans, please. And it's great. It's like innovative what he's doing. And it's good to see that people, he didn't just sit there and go, no, this is what I do. This is what I know.
Yeah. Well, you have to be now, right? I mean, you have to do the
He's figured
way.
Something out. And he can legitimately tell whether they're transfers or freshmen. If you are a guard, come to Illinois. We get you drafted in the first round. Because it's happening constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Year after year. We're going to let you play in an NBA style offense and you will get drafted. And there's proof, recent proof. That's compelling. Plus, obviously they're willing to pay people, which they never were in the past. And now they're allowed to, and they just do. So,
and Stojakovic's hot mom will be on the sidelines.
You know, there's something to be said for having Peja for just vibe in just sitting and watching every game in the crowd. Mm-hmm. That was a highlight for me this season. It's just like, oh, there's Peja Stojakovic. Sick. That guy ruled.
Except for one air ball. Yeah, he did. He
correct
was great.
Me if I'm wrong. Was he on George Fell's all smelly team?
No, I don't think Peja made the all smelly team because he's too handsome.
He's too good looking. Yeah.
He smells like Birchwood.
He looks like tall Depeche Mode.
Although yeah, he does look like he's more handsome now than he was when he was playing.
Yeah. He's aged well. Like a Pierce Brosnan type.
Indeed. So, all right. John, did you want to do Sox Corner?
Season? No, I got
week
nothing,
and a half?
Buddy. I got
happy for Ozzy, end of Sox Corner.
Yep. All these dopes that they thought they were going to be starters are not. So get the other guys up here that you think could be starters and let them pitch. Because I don't want to see any more Shane Smith. I don't need any more good story Shane Smith in my life, okay?
Yeah.
It was a Rule 5 pick, and it worked out for you 1 year. Get him upstairs and get him out of here.
Well, didn't they bring back, speaking of good stories, didn't they bring back Eric Fetty, too?
No, yes, he's somewhere else, isn't he?
No, they brought him back.
He's back.
He's there.
Mm-hmm. But now they're just using Grant Taylor as the all-time opener and then letting their starters go. So Fetty, I think, actually pitched pretty well yesterday or two days ago.
Now, wait a minute, John. I know you. You must have gotten your rocks off a little over a sweep of the Blue Jays.
Absolutely, Sam. You know that.
Okay.
Would have preferred if there were some larger wins in there, but...
John would get his rocks off if, like, the Rockies swept the Blue Jays or, like, yes, the Red Sox did.
They got Pecker slapped nicely tonight, too, if I saw the...
It means a little more than the White Sox are doing it. This is someone who's never letting go of 1993, so...
Well, and I don't think they had swept the Blue Jays in decades.
Right.
That's a little... Okay, that's another factor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, no, I mean, losing two to Baltimore to follow it up is kind of put a little bit of a damper on it. But, you know, like I said, in our baseball preview show, I'm not
award-winning.
Yes, I'm not really paying attention to anything that they're doing until Midsummer, at least.
Okay. Not the movie Midsummer.
No, not that. God, no. Andrew would be in therapy for years if he saw that.
Andrew's already in therapy.
I am. Proudly. Everyone needs therapy.
He would have a second therapist.
You'd have a second specific, Midsummer specific therapist.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, thank you, John.
So you're not a real big Ari Aster guy then, John, between this and then your Eddington, I'm not interested sign after 10 minutes.
Oh, no. Midsummer's a big hit in this house over here. But Eddington was not.
I say give it another shot. I liked Eddington. That's the first Ari Aster movie I've seen because I'm a little scaredy bitch and I don't want to watch the scary ones.
I will have to convey that to the partner in the house here and let her know that that's the same guy.
I should watch Beau Is Afraid, but like, it's like 2 hours and 45 minutes long. That's a commitment.
That's an investment you don't need to make.
I don't need to look at watching
chunk it
that
out.
Much. Yeah.
You could chunk it out. That's true.
I'm a fan of chunking it out.
Chunkage. All right. Well, let's get to the Cretans then.
All right. Andrew, what do you have?
Well, I had it up and then I wandered.
I forgot.
He goes wandering after midnight.
Son of a bitch.
In the moonlight.
Son of a bitch.
Just like he used to do.
I did like that I was in Lazarus's replies about the Sharks article. I said, I wonder if the playoff-bound Sharks are looking for a non-divisional rival who is also the second-worst team in the league. And a long-time guy, Sharks Circuit, replied, I wonder if they even know who Ryan Donato is. And I said, a really rich guy for no discernible reason. And they said, some asshole who recently retweeted Sam. So I'm very confused as to why he's replying to me. He said, I love the circle jerk doomers, LOL. Chicago sport meatheads to a T. And I said, glad you're enjoying it, weirdo. If you're listening to this, fuck you. Okay.
Slack, you and I come as a package deal to some people. I'm sorry to say. You deserve better.
He doesn't follow me, so I don't know where he's...
If
he follows you, you'd think he would know.
You'd think, but it
we,
might be
we
wrong.
We work together. From Dale Assman Earnhardt, why did the start of the end times begin with a Cub World Series win, and why is it ending when the Bears finally found a franchise quarterback?
I mean, I think you've answered the question. Yeah,
that's painful. That's hard to read. Because I really didn't consider the fact that the world might be ending and we just got a good quarterback. Like that.
You know what? Worth it.
I guess when we are burning alive, we can think of what could have been without knowing what wasn't.
Right, but we also won't know that it didn't work.
All right. Very good.
We won't know that they'll lose to the Rams in the playoffs again.
Some of these don't really require a lot of, back and forth, so I'll answer some of these. From Mike Jacoby, does this pending nuclear war mean there's no Illini or Cubs corner next week? Does it also mean I should hold off on buying a Bois Vert jersey? Illini corner, we covered. Cubs corner, we did not. And
there's not much to say about Cubs corner other than everyone's hurt.
I don't know. I would get that Bois Vert jersey next year.
You can always
Rockford for $50.
You could always turn it into a Bondra and be that guy.
You could.
Or a
Tommy Lysiak. Tommy Lysiak. Wasn't he 12?
He was, yes.
Go
trip the referee.
I just wanted to say, I saw this because he took 16, I guess it wasn't the first game he wore it, but one of the first games, Frondell L wore 16. It was in Seattle, and on CHSN, they did the split screen between him and Olchek, because Olchek does the Kraken game. And I'm sitting there going, how upset is Olchek that they haven't retired 16? It's like
fuming,
a little, right?
Stewing.
Okay, yeah.
I'm
not
stewing
the only one
that you mentioned that.
I'm not the only one who Gross. Thinks that like he's a little upset that his number hasn't been retired.
Well, he's upset about a lot of things. That's why he left.
He was upset that he couldn't be the shadow GM anymore.
Mm-hmm. He mad. All right. This one is for Sam, and I like this question.
Uh-huh. I don't like where this is going already.
No. It's a good year. You're not going to – you don't have to have your head on a swivel with me, bucko. Is DeZerbi going to keep Spurs up this season?
Oh, boy.
Right? Tough one.
I'm going to say no.
It feels like no.
Yeah, I feel like those guys are so checked out.
I don't know how you get that back. Like if this job was given to me in Football Manager, I would fail badly. I'd give my halftime speech. They'd be throwing shoes at me. It would be bad.
DeZerbi's an asshole, but he's a good manager, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't. The only thing they could say of him is like West Ham is pretty bad too.
Yeah,
but
they have consistency though. I don't know.
But like West Ham has two or three guys I can point to. I'm like, those guys are really trying and they're good. Tottenham doesn't have anybody who I can point to where I'm like, they're trying and they're good.
And guess who they play on their first game back at home?
Villa.
Wolves.
Oh, Wolves. Well, we know how that goes.
Well, it's not at Wolves, so it'll be fine. All right. Great question. I got two more. One is kind of I guess we'll have to tell this story. I'm not really sure. And then the second one is more of a go around the horn. Okay. Terry at Pool of Pook says, longtime listener, first time questioner. Good luck on your first crap. That's nice.
Good luck on your first crap, yeah.
Very, very nice to hear, longtime listener. How did you guys all meet?
Matt and I drank at the same bar.
Yeah, and the mutual bartender. So I had bought, it was at the beginning of the 08-09 season, and I had bought a program a couple times from Sam on the way in. And in going to the bar, mine and Sam's mutual bartender, who followed Sam from Boston to Chicago.
He's putting my kids through college.
Texted me and asked me for some IT help with the video surveillance system there. And I actually saw Sam on the video system. I go, hey, I buy programs from that guy.
Yeah, and that's then, exactly that.
And then
I walked in like an hour later.
Yeah. We started talking so here we are. And then we stole John from his own site.
John started his own Hawks blog and we stole him years later, but we were friends before we stole him. He was the commenter El Duque's Raft, if you remember that.
You and Bob came to a couple of road watches, if I remember specifically.
Indeed,
one.
We met on the internet. Is basically the long,
like
the
all
short
successful
story
relationships.
Version. Yes,
we met on the internet, and indeed. Slack was pretty much the same deal.
Yep. Yeah, it was a commenter then, for forever.
Indeed, Slack was a commenter. He was working on another Hawks plug. We took him away from that because they were wasting his talents. That's pretty much it.
Well, and do we have to talk about Killian or
no? Not at
no,
all.
Absolutely
never.
Not.
He's not on the podcast, so
yeah,
why would
he doesn't exist.
Good stuff, Terry. Great question. Thanks for listening. Last one is from Mayday. What is a hypothetical move Kyle from Chicago needs to make this offseason that would indicate to you guys he is capable of building a real contending team?
Matthew Nyes.
I knew you were going to say it.
Or William Nylander.
Or Jason Robertson.
Right.
Yeah. Any young player
any
in their 20s.
Genuine.
Yes.
Yeah. In their 20s, genuine top six forward.
Yes.
It's pretty
simple. I don't even know who it would be. I'd have to look. But if he got a genuine top three defenseman who's in his mid-20s, and he's like, I don't know that all the guys I have are going to work out, but I know this guy will, I'd settle for that. That'd be cool, too. But yeah, he has to. Basically, he has to take some of his prized puppies, package them up, and get something real.
Get real.
But we talked about this a couple weeks ago. If Matthew Nyes is the only thing Toronto's interested in when their moron was in charge was Levchinov, then I don't think any of those puppies are prized anywhere else except here.
The puppies might be prized.
Yeah.
That might be true. But there's a lot of moron GMs out there.
Yeah,
and John, Toronto's probably going to hire one of them.
He's got to be able to fool one.
That's the problem. Is I'm afraid he's the moron getting fooled.
No, we know which GMs think he's the moron, but he's got to make another one look like that.
Right. Yeah, pretty simple. I agree. Got to get one of those people in. I don't want to hear anyone tell me, which they love to tell me, there's nobody we can pick up in a trade, and there's nobody.
Wayne Gretzky was traded twice. Shut the fuck up.
Shut up. God, make an offer. You can't hoard prospects. It doesn't work. There's a roster limit, you idiots. All right, who else has questions?
I'm sorry. I was out all afternoon, so I don't have any.
I forgot.
Yeah, but I know Matt does.
Oh, yeah, I got plenty.
Let's rifle through them.
All right, Ron Recipe, not Ron Mexico.
I like Ron Recipe. What a great name.
If you were for the Hagel trade at the time, can you be against it now? Yes, I think all four of us are that.
Was I for it?
You kind of had to. And to get the two first-round picks, that was back when we didn't know what sort of a fucking loser Kyle was. You got two first-rounders for it. Like, you kind of had to.
Yeah,
you had two first round, and then you also got two guys that you could have seen if they were anything.
They were a former first round pedigree world junior guys, and they were on that team, which, you know, and Kachuk's out of the league, and Taylor Radish is now married to Taylor Radish, and with a Y, and he's doing whatever it is he does in Washington now.
Yeah, I mean, just because you blew all the picks and didn't get good guys, but I mean, the thing with Hagel was right. Everyone's like, oh, but he's got such a low cap hit. But the low cap hit doesn't matter to a team that's not trying. And I don't – maybe the Lightning did. Maybe they're this good. Did anybody see a 35-goal scorer in Brendan Hagel?
Maybe once every few years, but not
– people just saw, they just saw potential in a guy who was willing to play kind of a hard-ish nosed game. He was just pleasing. People liked him. They thought he was a good story. He was very likable.
But yes, he is exactly what would be useful on Connor Bedard's wing right now.
Sucks.
Nick Flosi, longtime guy. I've been presently surprised by Antoine Frondell-L's switch to center. Is it possible that the smaller ice here in North America makes it so he has less ground to cover than when he was playing on the larger ice in Sweden? Felt like they laid the ground to make him Bedard's wing, but so far so good at center.
That's, check back in October, sir.
Yeah. Let's let him play some games that matter. But yeah, that's pretty astute. He didn't play much center on the Huge.
But again, different agendas over there too.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. They got that Swedish agenda over there.
Well, no, but like he's playing with adults trying to win. Here, he's playing with con men and fraudsters in a make-work program.
Jesus Christ.
I'm not going to let this go until they actually fucking do something.
Swedish Agenda is my favorite soundtrack of our lives album, by the way.
What's to, like, buy out Burakovsky? Burkowski?
Did you call it a make-work program?
Yeah, that's what it is.
He's been saying it for weeks, Sam. I don't think you read his.
Yeah, but it tickles me every time.
I mean, literally, that's what they did with fucking Nick Foligno, and then they moved him along to a fucking more advantageous spot. That's what they did. That's what they're doing with fucking Durs and Blazil. Like, it's the only place where these people are fucking employable. I don't think. Am I that out of line with calling it that?
John and Slack are a much better moral compass than I am, so they'll tell you. I don't know.
Fucking Matt Grossdick. Like, what the fuck? It's a bad word for...
All right, moving on.
All right, wouldn't be a show without a Yasudis chiming in. With the world coming to... this is Brian, by the way. With the world coming to an end, what is a band you wish you would have seen live? Mine is Rage Against the Machine. That's a good one, but it all depends on which era.
We've done this question, haven't we?
Probably. I don't know.
I'm sure we have.
Some iteration of it, yes.
Yeah.
And
I mean, your answer could be different every time they ask it, I guess.
That's true.
And basically every band but, like, White Zombie is going to get back together at some point when the paycheck is right.
Don't remind me.
And then a sub question with Patrick Waugh fired. Even in this NHL, will he get hired again?
Of course.
I think so, for sure.
One job, 17.
It took
plus he's a name, so like if you need to juice your fan base a bit.
He'll do wacky shit.
I feel like it's ironic that he was fired at the end of a season, because I think that's what he'll be hired for next, is like a late season replacement to juice up some locker room that's got no pulse.
Kind of vibes.
So
he's definitely going to get another job. I mean,
he'll get the Montreal job at some point, right?
Maybe. I don't know. I think he kind of.
They seem to be doing well. I don't think.
Yeah.
No, I mean, not anytime soon, but you know,
he could get. I guess there.
They've
mended
all those fences. His jersey's retired. Like, you know, that's all.
Do him and Martin have a friendship?
Who knows. I'm talking like 5 years down the line or whatever.
Well, the funny thing about this Islanders job is that he didn't really burn it down like he did last time with Colorado.
He was still running way too loose of a ship for what they needed to be to get into the playoffs this year, though.
For sure, but I mean, he didn't hear about them in the hunt.
Yeah, you didn't hear about his misdeeds like you used to.
Right. By the time he left Colorado, they were in shambles.
Yeah.
Right.
in the midst of like a,
like the economy.
Yeah.
Get out while you're still ahead.
Yeah, I guess. So, but I mean, my point is that some team is just going to look at, well, he had the Islanders at 90 points when they fired him. So he can't be the biggest moron in the world. Yeah.
Yeah.
So definitely
they'll find somewhere. Out.
Yeah.
You'll see.
Well, Peter DeBoer and what he does is honestly a fucking perfect match for Islanders hockey, such as it is.
That's true.
All right. Leo Ward would like to know for the father figures here, what's your go-to distraction when your toddler is having a shit fit? For them, not for you.
What was the question?
Basically,
what's your distraction?
What do you do to placate your pants shitting child?
Literally, the first thing that's within arm's grasp of me to distract. That's not the thing that's
assuming she doesn't throw herself out of the shopping cart.
Correct.
She's not old enough to have a tantrum yet. She hasn't had one. She's a very good child. So
bless
far.
You, sir.
But you've had two kids who did have tantrums.
Not really.
Oh, lucky you.
They weren't bad. Like, you know, they had their hangups, but they weren't screamers, kickers, and whatnot.
Meanwhile, Chardell gets up and complains about not getting a call.
Correct.
Every 10 minutes.
No question.
She wants phone calls?
No,
the ref. Her partner saw it. Her partner was closer.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Yeah, she needs constant.
She's constant dialogue.
So
with the
whatever the one toy that she's not paying attention to, that's the one I use as a distraction for when she's having a meltdown over another one.
For the uninitiated, John is a famous yapper at Beer League Hockey.
Had
double
a good
champion,
one over the
I noticed. By the way, congratulations! I didn't know you were in two leagues.
I have been for years, Sam. It's the first time that I've ever had both teams play in the championship.
Look at you.
Yeah.
You know what John is? He's a winner.
That's right. That's right, buddy.
He's just a winner. You have him on your team because he just knows how to win.
Mm-hmm.
That and he's probably skating two skill divisions below where he should be.
No, buddy, I'm the oldest one on the team now, so I'm hanging on for dear life.
I'm winded. Don't push me. All right, what do we got left? Anything?
A couple, two, three. Do you want to hammer them all out?
Run right through them.
All right, new follower and complete pervert. I don't know who this is, but Amy's favorite with the Caleb Jones avatar. Who gets back to the playoff first, the Hawks or the White Sox?
I'm going to say the White Sox.
Before
pretty
the
easy
Hawks?
In baseball now.
Yeah, I think I would probably have to agree.
I mean, you can map out a chart where the White Sox could compete for a playoff spot in 27.
Yes. They're the worst division in baseball by a long shot. Right.
And Cholo should probably be up here by next year if he's everything that he's cracked up to be.
Yeah.
He's going to be the first overall pick in July, and I'm sure he's going to rocket through the system.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that would hold him back would be if Getz tries to be cute about it.
Does he know what position he plays?
Yes.
First baseman,
aware.
DH.
I think he's aware of a shortstop, but then he's, you know, that now he's got too many shortstops. You know, that's
no such thing. Aware.
No yeah. such thing.
So.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say White Sox and we'll get to the playoffs before the Hawks do.
Yeah, I think the Hawks are at least still 2 years away at this point.
I mean, they'll be 2 years away for another 5 years.
Yeah.
All according to plan.
You guys are just impatient.
That's what it is.
Korch's D partner off the street. Chicago.
Jesus Christ. Where do you get these names?
I don't know.
Well, that's where they're getting Korch's D partner from.
Yeah.
Smegma, out of the league. Tenorti, out of the league. But hey, they know how to develop Alex Vlasic and Louis Crevier. Chicago athlete from any era that needed to hang up on themselves the most.
Hang up on themselves.
Wow.
Well, Todd Hundley's on that list.
AJ Brzezinski, Nick Swisher.
Yeah, but AJ Brzezinski at least got results.
Adam Eaton is damn near the fucking top.
Brian Cox.
Brian Cox. Wow.
You said Ed Olczyk already.
We said Olczyk. Yeah.
Brandon Bolig.
Brandon Bolig.
Robin Lehner.
Yeah.
Thank God that guy's gone.
Honestly, DeMar DeRozan.
What?
They didn't win anything.
But he wasn't a yappy dickhead about it.
No, he wasn't a yappy dickhead. I
suppose.
He's a pro, and but from what we hear, do not cross DeMar.
No, absolutely not.
Out in these streets,
I will not. I will not go along with this, Sam.
Yeah, I retract that.
President Fells strikes that from the record.
Strike that from the record. We've given you a pretty good list there.
End of list.
Formerly, the artist formerly known as Crypto Fartcoin, Headphone Easy Rider. What sport has the best chance of surviving and thriving after a long nuclear winter? Sub question: which Chicago sports executive do you think has the most impressively prepared fallout shelter?
I'm sensing a theme with tonight's questions.
I'm telling you, it brings out the best and worst.
Bowling, to answer this first question.
Right, and that can be done.
Everyone should be watching Born to Bowl because it's great.
I mean, ski jumping.
You can't be outside.
I think it's just baseball. Throw something with somebody who's got a stick. You're off.
No, bowling. That's why bowling is the one. You can just roll a ball down and just.
Right. You're stuck in a basement for years and years. Yeah. You can still bowl.
You know, I suppose on the list of things I'd want to find if I woke up to the world around me being destroyed, I think bowling alley would be near the top. You know, you get into a bowling alley, you don't have to pay the outrageous fees. Got the lane to yourself. That sounds pretty nice.
They send the deed, for Christ's sake. I didn't think they're going to send the whole damn bowling alley.
I agree with everything you're saying there.
Doesn't that sound good?
Yeah.
Jed has the nicest shelter just because of his association with the Ricketts family.
Yeah, they give me.
I'm going to say Greg Berhalter has a really nice shelter. Just seems like a guy who'd be prepared.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. All right. We don't necessarily need to answer this, but I just found this exchange funny. Our guy AJ asked how we were going to celebrate when it finally happens, and then someone below him named Dwayne Jetski said, by it, meaning Kevin Korchinski is not traded over the summer.
Right after they released the story about him finally going to stay in the city and work out.
Oh, how nice of him.
Yeah.
Is he the only one?
He's the only one who hasn't.
Oh, I'll be impressed if he's joined by anybody. Like Levchinov needs to do that, but he won't.
Well, he's apparently joined by Vlasic and Kaiser.
Okay. Good. Okay, great.
Okay, great.
Two dumb bitches telling each other exactly.
I think I like Kaiser more than I like Vlasic.
I like them both.
I don't think Vlasic's done enough for me to like anything about him.
I would like to put Kaiser's brain in Levchinov's body.
I see that.
Well, let's Freaky Friday this bitch and let's go.
Imagine. Wow. Yeah.
A
dumb
right.
Wyatt Kaiser is also a fun thought. Anyway.
I mean, it wasn't exactly his most brilliant moment last night with the dipsy do trying to work a two-man game out at the
right,
point
with Levchinov's steam hands. It works. Yeah.
I get it.
All right. That's enough of this. We will be back next week. It won't quite be the end of the season, will it?
Oh, fuck.
Their last game's on Wednesday. Well, maybe we'll do it on Wednesday and then we'll do our season denouement. I don't know. John will be prepping draft stuff by then. He'll be in the war room.
Knee deep in it, not neck
hiding,
deep.
Hiding Chardog's toys.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how we'll do. So until then, for Matt, for John, for Slack, I am Sam. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, share, and subscribe to the newsletter. Until next week, Top Guys out.